podcast time from XFM. A week of shows and the best of them. Lots of chat and not much tunes for boring legal reasons.
Hello there and welcome to the 10th podcast, the special anniversary 10th podcast, celebratory collector's edition podcast. On today's podcast, Keith Lemon, Quizface, James Corden swings by, Tony Bowen too. I go on a Hitler rant and we find out what happens if you say Jamelia, Jamelia, Jamelia three times in a row. In fact, there's so much that this bit now is holding things up.
Yes, we are XFM. Benny Wallace.
How are we in the studio? Matt Dyson, how are you?
Good, thanks.
You're all right, yeah?
Yeah.
What'd you get up to last night?
I went to an antenatal class in the evening and then went on a tour.
Just on your own?
Hospital, me and my fiance.
Okay.
Actually, because interestingly, there's about 15 women there. Only two partners were there.
Oh.
So two blokes. So look at me, I'm in the good books.
You've scored the points, but also, did you bond with the other guy? Did you talk to him? Did you make eye contact?
No, didn't get a chance because we were sat in a room separately. But
we made
eye contact, like knowing eye contact.
We're man points for us. Yeah, that's good. After the show, yes. Yesterday, myself and Dave went to the cinema to watch an incredibly long film about depression.
For a Monday.
Just straight after the show. Let's just go off and watch a 2.5-hour film about depression. I had a nosebleed halfway through. It was that long and traumatic. No, it's a good film, but
what
I mean, something happened, I thought, I've got a bit of a cold, and then realised, I'm having a nosebleed. And I couldn't pop out and see to myself, because Dave had just been to the toilet, and it was a very small cinema, and not many people, and they'd already seen one of us leave, and then, I couldn't then go, leaving as well with a nose full of blood, so I had to sit there in silence. It was a very odd thing that happened, wasn't it? I mean, wasn't that surreal, leaving the cinema afterwards, Dave? Having seen the things we'd seen.
Yeah, at 2:30 in the afternoon.
Yeah.
Then to go about your day after... Well, the things I'd seen was just a bloody mess in front of me.
The last time I went to the cinema with Matt, he just fell asleep, and I was sitting between him and Eamon Holmes, both of them just snoozing gently. It's a very strange life sometimes on this show.
We are XFM.
Not only the gentleman, not only the scholar, not only the acrobat, but the author, James Corden, who is with us this morning, author of May I Have Your Attention, Please.
That's what it's called.
Available in all good bookshops.
It is.
Can I just say, the last time that I said something on this radio show, I got in such trouble where I came on and I'd had a rough night because my son had woken up at like 3 o'clock in the morning and then 4 o'clock in the morning and then 5 o'clock in the morning.
You were tired.
I was tired and I just came on, and because I feel like I'm among friends, I forgot that I was on the radio. And you were saying, what's it like, having a baby? And I said, it's so annoying. And I said, it's just nothing but annoying. And I went on. My girlfriend got annoyed, sent me a text saying, please stop saying this. It's upsetting me.
Yeah.
And then it got picked up everywhere.
The Sun, Metro, the Star.
The mother-in-law was not happy.
We were delighted.
Yeah, I bet you were.
Absolutely delighted.
I'm sure you were. It wasn't pretty for a while.
No.
It really wasn't, I'll be honest.
Say something else that's disparaging about children.
XFM.
Drive rap for Hitler. Now, they've been through some German archives, and a speeding summons issued to Adolf Hitler has been found. The Nazi leader was going twice the limit in his Mercedes towards Munich when he was pulled over. The policeman took his plate number and wrote that he was doing 34 miles an hour in 1931. That's twice the limit. It's disappointing, isn't it?
That man.
The more you hear about this guy, the less you like him. Do you know what I mean? I've never been a fan of Hitler, I should be clear, but that really does take the biscuit.
Yeah.
You think you know someone, then you hear something like that about them. Oh, he's speeding as well. That's just the icing on the cake, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
He was a fool to himself, this guy. An absolute fool to himself. And, it gets worse as well. The driving offence should have resulted in a ban, but it is doubtful if Hitler was even fined, Matt. Hopefully he learned something about himself.
Unsavoury. He was an unsavoury character.
He was an unsavoury character, and I don't mind. This for me is the straw that broke the camel's back.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I know this is a positive show, but Hitler was an absolute burk, and I'm not afraid of saying that. And Dave, I know that makes you nervous saying something like that, but he was an absolute burk, and he deserved at least a fine.
Mm.
You know? No one's joining in. All right.
We are.
XFM.
Author James Corden. I thought I would do a little thing with you, James, because, you know, often there are these celebrity autobiographies. Yours is more than that. It's a story. It's like a coming-of-age tale of redemption. But others aren't. So I thought I would give you some quotes.
Okay.
Some will be from your book.
Right.
And some will be from other celebrity autobiographies. Okay. And, you know, you can we'll take it from there.
Sure.
Probably explains itself, really.
Yeah.
Shall we do that? Do we have an appropriate, some kind of appropriate musical bed for this weird
quiz?
Yeah,
I think so.
All right, let's do it.
Oh, great bed. That's a great bed.
All aboard the quote boat. Thank you. Here's the first quote.
Okay.
Hi, I'm Jade, said the girl in her underwear, and added a nice to meet you before wandering off. Then another girl came over and said her name was Bella. She leant forward and kissed me seductively on the cheek. I was just about to tell her that I worked in Bella Pasta, when she just turned around and walked off too. Was that your kind of, your sort of quote, a story that you got,
yes,
or someone else's?
It's my quote, it's me. It's about when I ended up in a brothel and I didn't know I was in a brothel.
But I love the fact that one of the girls was called Bella and your
my instinct,
key...
Well, I was about 19 at the time. My instinct was to go, oh, well, that's funny that I used to work in Bella Pasta. she just walked off. Yeah, I had
even
no idea the trouble I was in at that moment, yeah. To be honest.
It's a terrific moment in that chapter. Here's another one. Is this you? My mum always said I was special. At the very moment the midwife prepared to cut my umbilical cord, the sun suddenly broke through the humid cloud outside and beamed right on me. Mum says the room was completely dark except for this ray of light. She still sees this as a special sign. Was that you, James Corden? Were the gods smiling
it's
upon
definitely
you?
Definitely not my book.
No, absolutely. It's actually...
If it was, because I don't remember when my umbilical cord was cut. And my mum doesn't talk about it very much either. So,
right, no, it wasn't you. It was Martine McCutcheon in the slightly pompously titled A Star Is Born. We'll be the judge of that.
God, McCutcheon, she gets there every time.
Absolutely. Here's another one. So why didn't I get a drink? I blame Winslet. She knows what she's doing. She's playing the long game with me and it's messing with my mind. Is that your opinion?
This is my book, yes.
Absolutely, it's James Corden.
Yes.
And you've got a thing for Winslet?
I do. I have quite a... I have quite an attraction towards her, and I feel like she has an attraction towards me.
Yeah, but she's remained tight-lipped.
Well, she's doing that whole thing that girls do when you're in a... I've only been in the same room as her three times, and every time...
Yeah.
She's made it clear that she's gone so out of her way to ignore me that I know what she's doing.
Wow. By that token, most of the women in the world are very into me.
Big time.
Yeah. Here's another one. My parents christened me Destiny Hope because they believed it was my destiny to bring hope to people.
Oh, my God.
I may have changed my name, but that does not mean I'm saying no to the destiny and hope my parents envisioned for me. I don't want hope as a middle name, but I sure want to try and bring it to everyone I meet or touch. Is that you?
Oh,
is that you?
It's not me.
No, it's not you.
Can I make a guess?
Yeah, go on.
Is it Bieber?
No, it's not, but you're not far away. I'll give you a clue. The book is called Miles to Go.
Oh, it's Cyrus.
Miley Cyrus.
Oh, God,
absolutely,
Cyrus.
Absolutely.
Hell of a read, that book. I've got to be honest. When I read it,
yeah.
I felt a new sense of hope.
I know, I tore through
and
it.
Destiny.
Yeah, exactly.
It's a hell of a read.
Unputdownable. And just the last one. That night at 8 o'clock, a hush would fall across the theatre. This would be the greatest night of my life, the pinnacle of my career, but it was also the most terrifying. I had it all to prove. I had to prove I was more than just a guy in red speedos running in slow motion across a beach. I was also the lead in Jekyll and Hyde, the musical.
I wish it was my book.
Yeah.
But I'm feeling it might be the Hoff.
It is. It's Don't Hassle the Hoff by David Hasselhoff.
Never read again.
You're a real expert on these celebrity autobiographies.
Well, I read a few in the lead up to mine, and it did give me strength that I might be able to write one. That would be okay.
And you changed your name, of course, from Destiny Hope Corden to...
James Kimberly Corden.
James Kimberly Corden.
That's my name.
Oh, look, Joe from Dartford's just texted in. Once again, can't read it out. I think he's now taken on this challenge of texting us as many times as he can during one day. This is Joe from Dartford, everyone, who is a confirmed listener, consistent listener, and enjoys making us laugh, but provides us with content that he knows is not appropriate for any breakfast show anywhere in the world. Shall we have a little look at the newspapers, see what's kind of going on right now,
yeah,
Matt?
I think that's only right and proper.
In Vietnam, members of the Laughter Yoga Club practice laughing to see whether it really is the best medicine during morning exercise at a public park in Hanoi. Now, you've heard of this, haven't you? Like, sort of laughter therapy.
Yeah.
And it's just, but these guys, they're going crazy for it. For the past 2 years, several hundred people, right, descend upon a park every morning to just laugh a lot. I mean, it sounds terrific, right? But this is what it sounds like. Oh, my God. It's just terrifying. That's enough of that. That's enough of that.
It is quite contagious, though.
Is it? I find it honestly unsettling, and I find it a weirdly regimented thing. Yeah. I mean, you know, natural laughter sounds like it's a beautiful thing, but that didn't sound natural. Like, I'll tell a joke because we should take that sound and just use it for our own amusement after any of us says anything even vaguely amusing. Here's a little joke, Dave. What's ET short for? Because he's got little legs. It sounds sarcastic. It sounds sarcastic. Oh, that's enough. That was a quality joke, and yet ruined by the sound of laughter, which is not something I ever thought I'd hear. Just quickly, I think Gaddafi is still in hiding, Matt. They can't find him.
No, they can't find him.
And they say that he must be communicating with his helpers in a secret way, using a system no one knows about or uses. It's got to be MySpace, isn't it? Has anyone... Thank you. Thank you, Vietnamese people in a park. Has anyone checked his MySpace account?
I don't know, they should do. Yeah.
There must be someone at MySpace, the one remaining employee there. There must be a system where he can check some activity. He's going, oh, someone's logged on. It's Gaddafi. So if you are listening at MySpace HQ, please do check that.
XFM.
In the studio is the marvellous Keith Lemon.
Who... Hey, Mr. Wallace, it's great to be here.
Good, I'm pleased you're pleased to be here. We're pleased to have you here.
Yeah, I mean, we've tweeted, haven't we?
We have tweeted.
And we discussed the kind of hug we're going to greet each other with.
Yeah, I practiced a couple.
And it was a good hug. I really appreciate that hug.
I'm glad you did, because I tried out several different ones, and that's the one I went with in the
What end. Were you trying on, like a pillow?
Yeah, a pillow. I tried on my infant son. I tried on my wife. Yeah, none of those really gave me the impact that I got from you.
Yeah.
There, so.
I give it back me.
Well, I've experienced true love for the first time, I think, today.
So that bromance thing that everyone's harping on. Bromance. Bromance and that planking thing where the sex photographs laid down.
Yeah.
What's that about?
It's
what a load of junk.
It's 2011. These are the things that will come to define us.
Planking?
Yeah.
Take a photograph of me laid down on this bench. Hey, Jones, that's a good picture. You look like you laid down. I was. Oh.
Exactly.
I don't get it.
See, this is what I like about you, Keith Lemon. There are some people who would, listen to you or first impressions would think that perhaps, you would say the odd silly thing. But actually, everything you said has been entirely sensible. You've written down all the rules for how to be successful.
Yes.
In a book. It's very much, you're kind of a public service man.
Well, that's nice of you. You're being very kind to me. That's very nice. I tried to write it with a straight mind.
Right.
I don't mean sexuality. I'm just being sensible. I said to mates, "Here, read that." He said, "Yeah, it's funny." I went, "I don't know if it's supposed to be funny, No. I was sort of meant everything I said and stuff." But yeah, people think that I'm going to be a crackpot, a dingbat, as it were.
I went
to the cinema last night to see a film, and you don't red carpet thing if you're on telly and that, and they said, and you behave yourself in there. I said, what do you think I'm going to do? I'm off to watch a film. I'm not Jed Wood. I'm not going to stand up and start dancing in the middle of the film. Just watch it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it was in my Twilight. What I did learn from the film is that Sigourney Weaver doesn't like balloons.
Is that right?
She even said it. There was no relevance to it whatsoever, but she was hiding Taylor Twilight Man. She was getting him out of the hospital, and she was covering him up with those Get Well Soon balloons.
Yeah.
And she got him in car park, and then let go of the balloons, and she went, I hate balloons. And there was no reference to it whatsoever. Like, she'd had a bad childhood she spotted a balloon or something.
Yeah.
And someone tried to blow a balloon up whilst it were in her mouth.
Right.
And but she just said, I hate balloons. I didn't get that bit spotted for me.
Yeah.
In the same respect as Avatar wasn't very realistic because it was set in the future.
Yes.
And they can put your mind in a blue monster. But the main character was in an NHS wheelchair.
Is that right?
That's not the future. In 2015, in Back to Future 2, it says they've got hoverboards.
Yes.
So surely they've got a hover wheelchair.
Absolutely.
In whatever era Avatar is set in, which to me looks like it's more into the future than Back to Future 2.
Yeah.
It's ragging Future.
It's that lack of attention to detail that really angers me as well.
It just spoils films, doesn't it?
It does. XFM. Now, James Corden, you are, of course, a confirmed, consistent celebrity listener. Mm-hmm. You will be aware, no doubt, of the majesty of Quiz Face.
Sure, who isn't?
I'm going to ask you to take part in this week's Quiz Face.
I'll only play if the caller's called Lawrence.
Well, luckily enough, the caller is called Lawrence. Lawrence, are you there?
How's it going? You all
right? Very well, thank you.
Lawrence, that's the best voice ever. Speak a bit more.
Hello, mate. You all right?
Yeah, I'm all right, mate. How you doing? All right?
I'm not so bad, mate. Not too bad at all.
Yeah, it's all right, isn't it? What did you get up to last night? Did you get a bit naughty?
I had a couple of beers and watched football, mate.
Couple of beers, why not, eh? We're all adults. Wee banter.
Yeah. Hey, Lawrence, are you familiar with the format of Quiz Face?
I am, yeah.
Great, that's good news. You should know the rules by now. So I'm going to pass over a script to...
You're not letting anybody new into this. it can only be described as narrow-minded.
It's belligerent at best. It's belligerent at best. Here's your copy of the script,
James. You should know the rules by now.
They should know the rules by now. They should know the rules by now.
No one new will ever come.
I've handed you your script there. I've crossed out Matt and replaced it with the word James. That should be enough. So, Lawrence, are you ready to play Quiz Face?
I am, mate, yeah.
Then let's get quizzical.
Quiz Face.
It's got a nautical theme this week, Lawrence. You should know the rules of Quiz Boat by now. You are Captain Timothy Booth, owner of a simple tugboat, inherited from your late aunt, a peculiar woman you didn't get on with. Lawrence, let's launch the boat. Okay, Lawrence, we're in the water. Behold the tugboat. It may, of course, lack the majesty of the sailing ship, nor a fearsome rake of a warship be, but, Lawrence, the tugboat is trusty. The tugboat is your friend. First of all, Lawrence, what is the tugboat called? Lawrence?
Hello, mate.
Well, did we caught you in the middle of something there?
No, I'm not. It's
called... What were you doing at that moment?
Were you doing some paperwork or something?
More important than playing the quiz you texted in to be part of.
I put a lot of effort into this, Lawrence.
I'm just trying to think of a decent name.
Okay.
Lawrence, there's a script and everything.
Yeah, what's the tugboat called, Lawrence?
It's called the Silver John.
The Silver John. Sorry, that's incorrect. It's called Reluctant Lady. Now, it's just a normal day on the sea for Captain Timothy Booth and the Reluctant Lady. A normal day. Normal day until... There's a whale, Lawrence. There's a beautiful whale. And it's rising up in the water, Lawrence. It's trying to speak to you, Lawrence. It's trying to speak.
Hello?
Says the whale, sounding a bit like TV's James Corden.
Who are you, traveller? Who tries to pass me? The Whale Queen?
Oh no, it's the Whale Queen, Lawrence. What do you say to the Whale Queen? Do you say A, you are Captain Timothy Booth and you're pleased to meet her? Or B, you are not Captain Timothy Booth and you're not pleased to meet her? You have 2 seconds to decide. It's quite a firm answer already. You're saying what? You're saying A? Okay, the whale looks at you like you're absolutely crazy for talking to a male whale. And the atmosphere, Lawrence, suddenly changes.
You have no place here, human. You do not belong among my people. You disrespected the whale people with your presence, and now I must destroy you.
Oh, think quick. Think quick, Lawrence. There must be something you can do. Do you A, attack the whale queen with your fists and a bottle, or B, point at your tugboat in the vague hope that the whale queen has had some kind of positive experience in its past concerning tugboats? You have 2 seconds to decide. You're saying B. The Whale Queen spots your tugboat, Lawrence. And the atmosphere changes once again.
A tugboat? Cruising down a river or in the open sea, the tugboat is your treasure. The tugboat your lover be.
It turns out, Lawrence, that the Whale Queen loves tugboats. Thanks to a tugboat once pulling a thorn out of her paw. You are saved.
But there is one more test you must pass,
says the Whale Queen.
Complete the following sentence. We are...
XFM.
He's done!
He's done it!
Oh, Lord! He's bigger than all of us!
How did you do it?
Oh,
you navigated your way through that quiz like a nautical hero, Lawrence. How do you feel?
That's blinding, mate.
It's blinding,
mate. I'm made up. I never thought I'd get on, but I'm absolutely made up to have done that, Danny. I'm not going to lie to you.
Yeah, absolutely.
We are...
Feeling a Brit low. This has made me slightly angry, this story. All right. And I think it's been written by a man who's feeling blue. Graham Hiscott, the deputy business editor of The Mirror. He says, sky-high bills, bad weather, work till you drop and die early. No wonder Britain is Europe's worst place to live. It's like, all right, Graham, what's got into you, you know? And then he goes on, and don't imagine you can drown your sorrows in booze and fags or take a holiday to shake off the gloom. We get a worse deal on them, too. It sounds like a rant, like a madman.
Negatron.
What a Negatron. Cheer up, Graham Hiscott. This is the highs of what this week?
28. You're 28. 29 over the weekend.
What's wrong with you? And it turns out the researchers have compared 10 countries in Europe on subjects from prices at the till to life expectancy, and Britain came rock bottom for quality of life. A separate survey, it goes on, found that just 5% of Brits class themselves as happy. 5%! With more than 1 in 10 wanting to move abroad. And it goes on, we're right at the bottom. And I'm looking at this, and some woman called Anne Robinson, not that one, says, we are now bottom of the pile, you know? For those of us who decide to ride the storm, there'll be no choice but to batten down the hatches. Have you looked outside, Graham? Have you looked outside, Anne Robinson, not that one? You know, I take issue with this statement. I take issue with you, Graham Hiscott. And I take issue with you, Anne Robinson, not that one. Why? Because this is Britain, Anne. This is Britain, Graham. Home of London buses and red telephone boxes. Home of the Keswick Pencil Museum, guys. Home of Kent with its record-breaking heaviest blueberry. Home of the largest ever gathering of people wearing bobble hats.
Yes.
Not my words, the words of the Guinness Book of World Records. This is Britain. We're baked beans and digestives and flaccid omelettes. We are English breakfasts and deep-fried Mars bars, and we love it, you know? We are Wallace Arnold coaches. We are Garfunkel steakhouses. We are Ibstock bricks. We are Nottinghamshire. We are Dundee. Yes. We are Stevenage. We are that town in Wales where all the drinks are 10p. We're the red, we're the white, we're the blue.
Yes.
All right, it's Simply Red and White Lightning and Duncan from Blue, but it all counts. We will not be beaten by these suits, these bean counters, these Brussels boffins with their ninny hammer surveys. We are Winston Churchill, guys. We're Winston, the bloke who works in the market in EastEnders but never speaks. For we are the British. We're the few. We're the many. We are XFM. And we are proud. So take your survey, Graham Hiscott, Deputy Business Editor of The Mirror. Take your survey, Anne Robinson, not that one. And stick it where the sun don't shine. And I'll tell you what, that's not Britain. Why is that, Matt? Highs of what this week?
29.
29. It's made me angry.
We are
XFL. Tony Bowen's here, everybody. Here he is. And you have prepared a little medley today to sort of knock a couple of songs out.
Yeah, we got two here. We got a bit of LaRue and some U2.
And you're going to meld them together with your...
La Two
or U-Roo. Either way, it works. Well, then let us have it. Ladies and gentlemen, the wonder, the majesty that is Tony Bowen.
Around, I'm having fun, don't put me down. I'll never let you sweep me off my feet. I won't let you in again. The messages I try to send, my information's just not going in. But in pretty sure, I break away from something more. I'm not too enough to love until it's cheap. Been there, done that, best around. I'm having fun, don't put me down. I'll never let you sweep me off my feet. This time, baby, I'll be bulletproof. This
time, baby, I'll be bulletproof. Is it getting better? Or do you feel the same? Will it make it easier on you now? Now you've got someone to blame. Well, it's one love, one life, when it's one need in the light. One love, get to share it. Leaves your baby if you don't care for it now. Time, baby, I'll be bulletproof. This time, baby, I'll be bulletproof.
Tony Bowen,
excellent work.
XFM
Quiz Votes.
Hello, I'm Lawrence. I've just taken part in Quiz Face. I never felt to feel as emotional as this. It's easily one of the highlights of my life. I thought that Danny was an absolute gentleman in presenting it to me, and James Corden made a terrific whale queen. I only hope that one day my children feel as lucky as I do today. Thank you, XFM. Thank you.
We are
XFM. Tell us something we don't know.
So, thanks to the article written today by Graham Hiscott, Deputy Business Editor of the Daily Mirror, backed up by the survey results of Anne Robinson, not that one, we've asked you to tell us something we don't know about Britain. Shall we do it? Shall we do the top five things? Here we go.
At number five.
This one comes of confirmed listener Gareth, and he simply says the following. Good morning. Where else in this world can you go to an eatery at 1 a.m. and get various meats that used to be a sheep's feet wrapped in a warm, soggy pita bread, covered in limp lettuce and browning cucumber, smothered in garlic, mayonnaise and chilli sauce? I will tell you, nowhere. And he's right, Matt.
He's right.
Thank you, Gareth.
Maybe Turkey.
Yeah, possibly Turkey. Yeah. But apart from Turkey.
Apart from Turkey here.
Only in Britain. What's next?
At number four.
Confirmed listener Ruthie asks, where else could you find a different pub quiz for every day of the week within a mile radius of your home?
Nowhere.
Ruthie from her beloved Britain, the birthplace of two-for-one drinks.
Well done, Ruthie. We're with you on that one. Let's go to number three.
At number three.
Confirmed listener Owen.
With soaring teen pregnancies, Britain is in better position than anyone else to deal with global problem of aging population. It's called Great Britain for a reason.
Yeah, you're right. It is called Great Britain for a reason. Soaring teenage pregnancies, helping Britain win its place in the world. What's next?
At number two.
Confirmed listener Sophie in Biggin Hills. Just two words from Sophie, Matt. Mm-hmm. Just two words. Fish fingers. It's at number one.
And the number one thing you told us that we didn't know in today's Tell Us Something That We Don't Know is...
It's a stirring story from confirmed listener Rick.
Well, I was walking a dog down the street in Kensal Green a couple of years ago, and I just saw this squirrel just sitting there with an actual packet, a Kit Kat wrapper, eating the Kit Kat out of it, only in Britain.
Only in Britain! Only in... Take that, Graham Hiscott. And Anne Robinson, not that one.
We are...
Robin Cooper is here, everybody. Yeah. Hi, Robin. How are you?
Oh, hello there.
Yeah, you're right? You happy?
Yes, I'm fine.
You want a sandwich?
No, I'm fine. How's the show going?
Yeah, it's going very well, thank you. Yeah. Are you seem a bit...
It's just that I wasn't on last week.
No.
I turned up and was turned away, and there was another man here. Mr. Gary...
Gary Oldman. Yeah, Gary Oldman was here. He took your slot.
Right, and was that an insurance reason or?
No, he was terrific. No, he was great.
So he was terrific, right? No, fine.
No,
And who is he? Does he work for the Burgermeisters?
No, he doesn't. Right. He's an actor, an A-list actor.
Oh, right. I've never seen. What films has he done?
Well, Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy, the current number one.
Tinker Tailor Soldier Spy?
Yeah.
Bit boring.
Is it?
Well, I don't know. It's just my prediction.
So it's like a preview and a review.
It's a preview. I'd give it 3 stars.
Okay.
Because I haven't seen it.
Okay.
No, I was just a bit miffed, Daniel. just a bit miffed. But no, otherwise, I'm all happy now. Hello, viewers. Did you have a nice time? Open the phone line straight away. What we want to know is, what do you think about the new regulations, the EU regulations regarding parking permits? Should they be taken to Britain as well? Call in now on
83936.
Six.
Yeah, or don't.
Also in the news later on, we're going to be speaking to a man who's made his house entirely out of sugar. He's coming in. Text us now on
83936. Dave, you better get onto that quickly.
To speak to Michael North.
Can you get onto Michael North, the sugar house man?
So those fish fingers that are twice the size of Omega 3.
Yeah.
So is that... Is that Omega 6? is that a sort of stronger...
I think it's Omega 3 squared.
Is Omega 3 a type of fish, or is it a...
It's a... not a vitamin. What would you call it?
It's an
essential fatty acid.
Oh, he's naked again, isn't he?
Yeah, he
is. He's always naked, that man.
It is an odd thing.
Yeah.
I'm sorry about the Gary
no,
thing.
No, it's fine.
Because I did... I got in touch with you only the day before. Just to say, look, you know, Gary's
maybe my fax
in.
Machine wasn't working. Could have been that.
Yeah, maybe. Yes. But you turned up. Well, it was nice because, you know, we've been calling the show the all-new XFM Breakfast Show.
No, I didn't know that. No.
Right.
Oh, is this XFM? Right.
Exactly.
BBC South.
No, we got. You'd think it with links like my Amiga link.
Right.
But we got Gary to kind of...
Gary, yes.
Mr. Oldman to do a sort of like a coronation in some
coronation.
Ways.
Coronation?
To name the show. Not the all-new XFM Breakfast Show. But instead, call it the XFM Breakfast Show with Danny Wallace.
Because it covers all of the South.
Yeah.
Plymouth, if you're listening, call in now. Now, I've had quite a busy week, thank you for asking.
Well, how's your week been?
Not very busy, actually.
We are XFM.
First of all, obviously, you know, there are various men listening. Generally, the men, you know, women as well, but the men will be talking, you know, this morning about Carlos Tevez, I imagine. Mm. Phil, how do you say that name properly, first of all?
Carlos Tevez.
Great, Carlos Tevez. so there's confusion, was there, that he wouldn't be substituted?
Yeah, well, apparently he's just released a statement now saying, I was confused, I didn't know, I was
Because it must be
play.
Confusing.
Yeah.
Because one minute you're sitting there, and you know, and the next minute someone said, hello, there's a substitution happening and you're going to have to go on.
Sorry,
like, what? Hang on. But I'm watching, then there'll be 12 men on the pitch, surely. And they're like, well, no, the man will come off and then you will go on. And it's like, this seems an unlikely turn of events. So that's my view on it. But you lot have expert opinions, all right? So I'm going to give you 30 seconds to get your, how do you say it?
Carlos Tevez.
Your Carlos Tevez opinions out of the way.
I mean, Dave, what do you think as a Manchester City fan? Can you ever see him playing for Manchester City again? Would you want to see him play for Manchester City again?
All good questions, Phil. I think it's unprofessional and immature. And as a City fan, I would be happy if he never plays for the game. We've got the strength in the squad without him. We've proven that we can win without him. Let's just not play him.
If it was just a misunderstanding and he really did want to play and he was just so confused at what was going on, a big ask to play a match.
I don't think that was the case. Matt?
Well, I think Mancini may have got angry a bit too early, perhaps.
Thank you very much. So, there's a donkey in Bulgaria.
XFM.
Our guest today is the excellent Sean Ryder. We were talking just before, Sean, about some of the lost years. They're just packed with stories, your new book, Twisting My Melon. There's a couple of great ones as well about your time hanging out with Bez, of course. You describe Bez as, quote, pretty talentless.
he's good at being Bez.
that is the thing. What was the last communication you had from Bez? What was the last text you received from him, for example?
The last communication I had him? I can't remember.
I bet it was good, whatever it was.
Yeah.
There's a story when you guys were in America for, I think, the first time, and you were in some place, I think maybe a hotel, and Bez got talking to Julia Roberts.
I was in the Viper Room.
In the Viper Room?
Yeah, yeah. Pretty Woman had just come out, and we watched the movie going over to the States on the plane. Bez didn't watch it, and didn't have a clue who Julia Roberts was. And when we got in the Viper, she made pretty much a beeline for him.
Wow, straight away?
Yeah, straight away.
I know what I like, and it's that.
Yeah, yeah. And she was pretty friendly, and she had a bodyguard called Evil.
Evil, great name.
Who Bez was more interested in than Julia. He's come over to us, who's Julia Roberts? So we filled him in with Julia Roberts. Well, she invited him back to, you know, her place, but I think he went out for a drink with Evil.
Right. classic Bez behaviour, something to be applauded there. We were talking about the fact that, you know, writing the book must have been pretty difficult because you spent well, some time in the 90s in, I guess, the fog of illicit substances was around. It had kind of descended a little bit, which may have clouded your memory at some points.
Yeah, yeah.
So we thought, you know, we'd have a look at some of the things you missed and see if you can answer some of the major events of the years 1992, we'll go for 2001. This is what we're calling the Rider Decider.
Okay.
It rhymes, really. That's the only reason. I'll fill you in just briefly. Sean, the 16 years you missed were widely regarded by Year Expert as the greatest years the human race has ever seen. Europe saw the rise of the Spice Girls, Sean, and it was incredible. Japan gave us the Tamagotchi. You know, there were the Indie Wars, Heroes in a Half Shell. We all had a Rachel haircut. Terrific times. You really missed out. So, the first one.
1990.
Moscow. The then Supreme Soviet President of the Russian SFSR and the future Russian President Boris Yeltsin attends the opening of a restaurant, Sean, said to symbolise Russia's transition.
McDonald's.
Boom, straight in.
I didn't even need the options.
That was the Rider Decider straight there. I was going to say McDonald's, a KGB Fridays or an Aberdeen Steakhouse, but you knew it was McDonald's. Let's skip forward to 1997.
1997.
CD-ROM is huge. Pagers, initially popular amongst people who bought pagers, are replaced overnight by affordable portable phones. And an incredible moment in astronomy. Sure, we're back to stars. For the first time in 4,200 years, this comet swings past the sun. But what, Sean, was its name? Was it Doo-Wop, Hale-Bopp, or M-Bopp?
Not got a clue.
Oh, narrow it down. Could it be in the Doo-Wop?
Doo-Wop.
You're saying Doo-Wop?
Go on.
Hale-Bopp, I'm sorry, no, but that's all right. That wasn't the biggest one.
1998.
The United States of Americans. Inappropriate relations have been indicated and subsequently proven between then-President William Jefferson Clinton and a White House intern, which will see the affable politician impeached for perjury under
Monica.
Oath. Monica.
Lewinsky.
Lewinsky is correct. You could have had Geller or Monica Ronica Bonica. I don't know who that is. Well done, Sean. You've won some Beanie Babies, some Pogs, three Furbies, and a play-at-home version of Laser Tag, all from the 90s. Sharp as a pin. There's nothing going on there. You're absolutely fine.
That's thanks to the iPhone.
Sam and St. Albans, he's been telling us how he has been doing in each week's University Challenge. Did you play last night?
I played last night and I got nine.
Nine?
Yes.
You're a genius.
I know, a couple about Van Gogh and Gauguin as well. I was surprised myself.
Goodness me, I didn't do as well. I got five. But let's see how Sam and St. Albans did. Sam, are you there?
I'm there, hello.
Hi Sam, how are you this morning?
I'm very good, thank you.
How did you do tonight?
I'm nothing if not consistent. I got six again last night.
Six again last night. Oh, well, that's pretty good. Any highlights for you?
Shouting out Cretaceous in my fiance's face was quite a good one.
Shouting out Cretaceous in anyone's fiance's face is good news. I didn't do as well as you, Sam. I got this one right.
Which alliterative three-word phrase now used to describe the way in which a judicial punishment might be experienced?
Short, sharp, shock. Short, sharp, shock.
Short, sharp, shock.
Thank you.
I record all my episodes of University Challenge. Did you get that one right, Sam?
I would have done, but the guy got in really quickly, so I missed it.
Yeah. Well, he didn't get in that quickly. I managed to say short, sharp, shock twice.
To think about.
Yeah, exactly. Well, listen, we'll you know, good luck for next week. We will be back with you same time. Anyone following Sam's progress, maybe doing a little chart at home, just to say again, he got six this week. XFL. So shall we find out what we've learnt? Because I'll tell you what, we've learnt a lot. Here's an example. Matt.
The strange outburst from Kittrow earlier where he suddenly just said that at the end of a sport bulletin can be explained, but it's complicated and to do with the inner workings of a commercial radio newsroom. You're best off not knowing.
Best off not knowing, best off glossing over that. Before today's show at around 5:45 a.m, I heard someone say, "Where's Jamelia?" three times in a row and then dash out of the room. I can only imagine that saying "Where's Jamelia?" three times in a row is a bit like saying Candyman three times in a row. And that person now faces walking through life being haunted by Jamelia. Hence, I suppose, the dash.
Yeah, not great timekeeping, Jamelia.
No.
Actually, yeah.
Where's Jamelia? Where's Jamelia? Where's Jamelia?
Studio engineer Richard Blackwell was in his element this morning for the live session, twiddling with his glorified graphic equalisers in the studios and sleazing up to the Wombat's plugger, Jane.
Yeah, absolutely. Today's show, featuring Keith Lemon and the Wombats, is just one of our busiest shows this week. Tomorrow sees James Corden making his third appearance on the show, making history once again. Plus, Kirsten Dunst on Friday. More A-list names are confirmed for the next 2 weeks on this, your high-class, discerning breakfast show. Do you have any others there, Matt?
No, I think that's a nice
Well, I'll tell you what we discussed off-air. You know, okay, sometimes I do this. We discussed getting Dave a huge hamster-style water feeder so he never has to leave the desk. when we're getting XFM breakfast show mugs to get away. Why our keyboards are tiny, yet our computer mice are regulation size, meaning our right hands feel normal, whereas our left hands must think we're suddenly enormous. The work of Simon and Garfunkel, the last time we ate at a Garfunkel's, why no one says getting into a funk anymore, and why get into a funk would be a great slogan for Garfunkel's. Well, there you go. That was the 10th Celebratory Special Collector's Edition podcast from the XFM Breakfast Show. There'll be another one in about a week's time, but if you just can't wait, we're on air every day from 6:30 with added music. Bye. Yes, we are XFM. Annie Wallace.